So we're in this period right now between Shiva Sabri Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. It's often known as Bein HaMetzarim. It's a based on a pasuk in Eicha that this is in the narrow straits here, that we're in this narrow time between Shiva Sabri Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. And it feels narrow, constricting in a little sense. We're going to be looking here mostly at halachas, but with that, I want to remind everybody that the halacha is really just a means for the avelus, but it's not the ends of itself. The way Erica Brown writes it in her book on the 3 weeks is that the halachic restrictions of the period help us structure our worlds to minimize joy, but they cannot force sadness. They can only minimize the conditions for happiness. So as we learn the halachas, the halachas are there to help us structure what it means to be able to add on a little bit of sadness, but observing the halachas alone isn't enough to necessarily feel what we're supposed to be feeling during this period. It's only just a means for that. So with that said, it is a very challenging time period. Dr. Brown writes here that she had a friend who said, "I would trade 3 weeks in the summer for 5 weeks in the winter." That's not the time. It's not the amount of time per se that's as difficult. In fact, I don't think people find Sfira to be nearly as difficult. But the fact that it happens during the summer is a little bit difficult. And especially once we get to 9 days, the 3 week, the restrictions cut a little bit into our sense of hygiene. She notes, and it's also difficult to relates to destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in this time period. We're used to not having the Beis HaMikdash, so what does it mean to be mourning for it, and what are we really missing from it? So those aren't questions that I'm necessarily going to answer right now, but it is something that's important for us to be thinking about as we're learning the halachos, is that they're just meant to give us the pathway towards feeling that, and the pathway towards reflection, but it's on us to do that extra work to do the reflection during this time period. Rabbi Haskell Lookstein, in his introduction to the Rav's notes on Kinos that was put together by Koren, so he talks about the struggle. And in fact, in 1967, he had gone to Israel around the time of Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av at the Kotel in 1967 looked like almost nothing like Tisha B'Av, especially with the State of Israel, and especially after the Six-Day War, reconquering the old city. It's very hard to put ourselves in those shoes. The question sort of became, what will be, the question for us is, what's the Kotel going to look like this year? And in some ways, it might be that the Kotel might actually feel a little bit more like Tisha B'Av, but Dafka, because but nobody's going to be there to see that, or fewer people are going to be there to see it. I think maybe this year, it's a little bit easier to imagine what it means to have a loss, even if we aren't directly impacted by the loss of Beis HaMikdash, but we're impacted by the loss of the Mikdash Me'at, of not having Shul, and even though many of us have returned to Shul in some ways, but it's still not the same, and some of us still aren't going back. So that's all by way of introduction, that these halakhas are supposed to get us in the mindset, and maybe this year it's a little bit easier, but there's still work for us to do. Okay, so let's jump in a little bit. So the Kitzur says, Kevan Shibashiva Asar B'Tammuz Utchil Tzaret HaKorban, because on the 17th of Tammuz began the sorrow, the things that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's when the walls were breached, at least when it came to the Second Temple. So Lachay Noagin Tas Avelus Miyom Zeh Adachar Tisha B'Av. So we have a little bit of mourning between now and Tisha B'Av. Okay, so that's just a general framework. One thing I'll note, it's interesting, if you learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch versus the actual Shulchan Aruch, so Kitzur Shulchan Aruch frames this around Shiva Sabri Tammuz. Shulchan Aruch actually jumps right into the 9 days, because a lot of things that Ashkenazim do during the 3 weeks, Sephardim wait to do until the 9 days. So here we're talking a bit, I'll try to note differences between Sephardim and Ashkenazim practice, we have English here? Oh, okay, good. We have English here. But the Kitzur starts with Shiva Sabri Tammuz, Shulchan Aruch, for the most part, doesn't note much of the 3 weeks for so much. Kitzur continues, "Ra'ui l'chol yerei shamayim lasos tikkun chatzos b'chol yom achar chatzos hayom." So somebody who's God-fearing should say tikkun chatzos daily in the afternoon. I don't know too many people who do that. Maybe I'm not a yerei shamayim, but that's a custom that's recorded here. I don't know how common it is today. Kitzur continues, "Ein osin nashim." So the custom is not to get married during this time period. Afil misha dayan lo kiyam mitzvas peruvim. So even if it's the first marriage, and we consider the mitzvah of procreation to be a very important mitzvah, but nonetheless, during this time period, it's considered to not be appropriate. And again, according to Rav Yosef Karo, the author of Shulchan Aruch, so this really only applies from Rosh Chodesh Av, not from from the 17th of Tammuz. Either way, whether or not you have a meal associated with this, or any sort of party associated, but we don't have it. We don't have any chuppahs between Shiva Sabra Tammuz and Tish B'Av. Aval lasos shiduchin afil b'suda, but to have shiduchin to make engagements. So I think earlier texts would have said erusin, but we sort of separate the, you know, what we call the erusin or kedushin and the suin. But the simple act of getting engaged is technically permitted. You can even have a meal, some sort of, you know, low scale celebration of an engagement. That's permitted mutar ad rosh chodesh av. That's permitted up till rosh chodesh av. So getting married during the 3 weeks is not allowed. Won't be allowed to get engaged and have a meal for that. But a wedding is not allowed whether or not you have a meal associated with it. So this distinction between getting engaged and getting married is probably based on sort of question, you know, what's, you know, how do we define joy? So, you know, a person might be happy if they get engaged, but obviously the scale of a wedding is far different than perhaps the act of getting engaged, which is maybe a personally exciting event, but it's not, you know, it's not Simon Tov Mazel Tov Yehi Lanu Kol Yisrael, everybody dancing around. And in fact, if you have some sort of engagement party during this time period, you shouldn't have any music, you shouldn't have any dancing. But you know, the act of getting engaged is only sort of like a half measure. So it's exciting, but the real joy that comes from, you know, the solidification of a relationship comes at the wedding. Okay, so Mirosh Chodesh Ve'elach, from Rosh Chodesh Av and onwards, Afal Gav Demuter Gamkin Lasos Shiduchin. So you're allowed to get engaged during, even from Rosh Chodesh Av, but you just can't have any sort of meal. Certainly not with dancing, but even a meal would be problematic. So if somebody wants to get engaged, and the 9 days is the best time to do it, so you can have, you know, some family over for some fruit and for some desserts, but not a full scale party. Yisrael Shaparnasa. Okay, so before going on, so we have to talk about the issue of music during the 3 weeks. So my conception growing up is that we don't listen to music during the weeks. We just don't listen to any music. A cappella or Moshe Feinstein was okay, but music, generally speaking, one doesn't listen to. So the truth is that so live music, especially, again, this is where the source for this prohibition perhaps comes from weddings, because that's where you are often likely to have live music, a band, dancing. So any music that's, you know, live, especially when it involves dancing, so that everyone agrees is forbidden. But the dispute is a little more when it comes to recorded music versus recorded instrumental music versus a cappella music. When it comes to recorded instrumental music, so some say that you should only listen to a cappella. Some say that recorded music, as long as it's not dance music, is fine. Rav Eliezer Melamed sort of has a hybrid approach where you can listen to instrumental music, and you should listen to instrumental music that is related to the time period. So music that's, you know, slow music that's related to Yerushalayim, to the Chorban, things that's, you know, that are very heart-stirring, perhaps would be appropriate during this time, but music that's meant to get you, you know, your heart racing, and you know, that has a dance aspect to it you would want to avoid during this time. Perhaps one would say that one would further distinguish between Sefirah HaOmer and the 3 weeks. During Sefirah HaOmer, maybe you're listening to slow, Kumsitz kind of music would be appropriate, according to Rav Melamed, but maybe during the 3 weeks, we shouldn't listen to music, because the truth is, there was actually a ban on music after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Music in general was banned, so we very much limited that ban, B-A-N. But perhaps as a matter of mourning in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was music in the Beis HaMikdash, even on Shabbos, so perhaps in order to mourn the Beis HaMikdash, maybe it's appropriate to not listen to music during the 3 weeks. But you can see there's a wide range of opinions. Rav Hershel Schechter for this year has suggested that, especially since this is not, there's no Gemara sign even in the Shulchan Aruch, technically you can't listen to music. So he suggested that maybe this year, if people are feeling particularly down and gloomy and depressed because of COVID, so you don't want to further that through the observance of 3 weeks, so a person needs to listen to music to cheer them up a little bit, not to make them extra happy, but to bring them up to a more normal level of a mood. So one would be allowed to listen to music in general during this time period, according to Schechter this year. And he said, especially on Erev Shabbos, one shouldn't go into Shabbos feeling sad, so maybe listening to uplifting music on Erev Shabbos would be appropriate. So Rav Schechter said for this year. So anyway, so you're not allowed to have live music, but what about somebody who's a music professional? So Yisrael Sheparnasa Shelo Bechdei Zemer Mutar L'Nagid Beveis Eino Yehudi Bechnei Parnasa So Ad Rosh Chodesh. So if somebody makes their living by being a musician, so you can play in the home of a non-Jew through Rosh Chodesh. Aval Mer Rosh Chodesh Ad Achar Tanis Aser. But from Rosh Chodesh onwards, even for professional purposes, one shouldn't play. V'Yom Shiva Asar B'Tamuz Atzmo Gam Kein Aser V'Chein Asar B'Tevez. And on the fast days themselves, you also shouldn't play music. Some people don't eat meat the entire 3 weeks. Except for Shabbos and Sudas Mitzvah. Our practice is not that way. We only stop that from Rosh Chodesh Av. But interestingly, as we'll discuss later when we get to the laws of 9 days, the truth is that prohibition really only applied according to the Gemara for the Sudat Mafsekit, for the last meal before Tisha B'Av. But before that, the Gemara doesn't mention anything. So it's only a recent custom, relatively recent custom, that people refrain from meat and wine. Again, our custom is only to start this from the 9 days, not from the 3 weeks. Does anybody have any questions before we break for the night? Okay, so I wish everyone else tomorrow night's going to, yeah.
I actually have it's not a weird question, but if you have like a treadmill or some exercise equipment, then you need music to get going, is that okay?
I meant to mention that, yeah, so for exercising and also if you're driving a car, especially on a road trip, so that would be okay also in that circumstance. I think in any year.
Is it matter the type of music you listen to when you're doing?
I mean, if it's
again, I think music, if it helps you, if listening to fast music would help you exercise, so while you're exercising, I think it would be okay.
Thanks.
Well,
thank you, Sasha.
Yeah.
Classical music, like a Mozart, Beethoven symphony, which is not upbeat, so to speak, but quiet music can relax you. Is that what Rav Schechter agree to that?
Not only would Rav Schechter agree to that this year, I think Rav Schechter, well, I don't want to speak for Rav Schechter, but many poskim agree to that any year, because again, the real, when you look at where this stems from, I think the prohibition of listening to music stemmed from a concern that people would use it to dance. Classical music and chazanas was another example that I heard in another context. Classical music and chazanas doesn't have any relationship. I might say during the 3 weeks, maybe classical music, I'd be a little more machmir during Sfira because we are mourning the Churban and music was lumped into some of the commemorations of the Churban. This year, I wouldn't go out of my way to be machmir, and I might say that maybe up until the, so, you know, maybe classical music until the 9 days is better than, you know, than
something else.
But, I think between now and the 9 days, I think maybe Kara Dinan, I don't think there's anything wrong with classical music in Chazanas, and that might even apply during the 9 days, too.